Blog Talk Radio.
This is a philosophy show. It's episode 151. My name is Thomas, your host. This Thursday morning, 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, August 11th, 2016. And today's episode is titled "Maybe a vote for Clinton or Trump will result in the worser of two evils 4 years from now." And that's because I hear a lot of people saying, oh, if you vote for Clinton, you're going to guarantee, that's a, you know, a vote against Trump, or I'm sorry, let me rephrase it. If you don't vote for Clinton, then you're, you know, supporting Trump. Or if you don't vote for Trump, you're supporting Clinton. And I reject both of those. The reason why we have the two most, or I think one of the reasons why we have two of the most unfavorable people in the two big parties. One is we have two big parties, and two is because we keep voting the lesser of two evils every 4 years. And so when you keep doing that, it's a race to the bottom. And if we keep doing that, they're just going to get worse and worse, probably, unless if you get someone better, of course. But it's going to embolden the powers that be. You're going to support the dynasty. Just like college sports. Why do you think certain teams are always better and they're always good every year? Because they have the power. And once you have the power, you can recruit. And once you have that recruiting power, you know, you just set in and that foundation is there. And it's really hard to stop it. You know, once in a while there's a new star that is seen in the sky, but that's very, very rare. And that's the same thing in our politics. So, how about this? How about let's not decide till about a week before and see where it goes from there? Yeah, if like a week before November 8th, which is when the elections are, if they're the only two that have any chance in the polls, then maybe you're right at that point. But at this point, before giving everyone a fair chance, and at this point, like 3 months before the elections, at this point, before any of the debates, you know, let's hear them all out and let them debate. What if after the debates, you know, there's going to be three debates, presidential debates, all of a sudden Gary Johnson is at top? Would you still say, you know, not voting for whichever your two evils are is a vote for the other one? You couldn't at that point. So how about let's wait until then and let the jury decide after hearing both arguments. That is the tradition. And it figures that both people supporting these two very evil people, or evil policy people, I guess, are, you know, trying to ram them down our throats. and up you know what. And, you know, they have the most unfavorable ratings in modern history. And there's a reason why. Because they deserve it. You know, 50% of this country are independents. And it's only 30% of the Republicans who are only 30% of the electorate. And about the same for Clinton, who selected these two. I mean, they're really, I think somewhere I read, like 3% in the entire country decided who the two nominees were on each side. So like 6% overall. That's not good. I mean, out of, you know, 300 million people in this country, you know, we don't want dynasties. That's what this whole election is about, is dynasties. I mean, Clinton is a dynasty. You know, she's worth like $300 million, her and Bill Clinton combined, from special deeds. It wasn't from inventing something or being entrepreneurial. It was from getting bribes, legalized bribes, you could call it. And Trump, the same thing. He got his money from inheritance. I mean, if he would have just used compounded interest and put his money away, he probably would have been richer than he is now. You know, and there's just many things I could say. I could go down the laundry list. But, you know, there are other alternatives who are going to be on the ballot in all 50 states, and the time has come. And if you really want to make a huge difference in the way our country operates for the better, you know, really look into your Congress, your House of Representatives, which is voted on every 2 years. So, I mean, you know, they really scare you and are trying to make this an election of fear. I mean, the Republicans will say, if you elect Hillary, she's going to take all your guns away. She's going to just give this entire country away to the big banks. And that's not good for our country, because we've already given them trillions of dollars. A lot of trillions of dollars. You know, and she'll probably bring us, will probably be an endless war and have an escalation of war. And who knows, maybe war with like Russia or something. Who knows? I mean, our country has had a lot of war. In fact, I just saw this campaign on YouTube the other day. It's called 2 and 22, 22 push-ups in 22 days. 22 each day for 22 days. It's to bring awareness of, there's 22 on average people in the military that commit suicide every day. In fact, one of the highest statistics of suicide rates in our country, in the United States, is from people in the military. 22 each day on average. So if I take 22 times 365, that equals 8,030 per year. 8,030. That's 22 a day times 365 days a year. 8,030 a year are committing suicide. That's not from friendly fire or not, you know, directly. Maybe from the mistakes of our politicians and stuff, but 8,030 a year committing suicide. That's a higher casualty rate than from enemy fire. And why is that? I have to ask. I mean, just YouTube 22 for 22 days, and I'm sure you'll find it. And, you know, I don't know if Trump is going to stop the wars. He said he was against the war in Iraq. I don't know. I just don't know. And I don't know if he's going to sell us out to the big banks. I don't know if he's really going to be good for our economy. And I don't know if he's really going to keep his oath to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I do think Gary Johnson would do all those things. And he does have the highest percentage of support from the military than any of the four main candidates, if you also include Jill Stein. I think Jill Stein, I hope she gets over 5% so the Green Party gets public matching funds in 4 years from now. I think she is an excellent spokesperson. She is very sharp, and I mean, if you've seen some interviews with her, she just can talk almost better than anyone I've seen almost. And I think she has good convictions. I don't agree with all her policies, but I agree with a lot of them. And I think, you know, I don't know if she has a legitimate chance, but again, you know, that's because she's not in the debates and some people are just scared. You know, sometimes we have to go over the horizon and see what's on the other side. And sometimes forced to. I mean, if you have choices like Clint Trump, then, I mean, what other options do we have? Some people say, you know, some people on the left say if you don't vote for Hillary, you're voting for Trump. And it's white privilege to not vote for Hillary because, you know, you can afford 4 years of Trump and the disaster he would be. And some people say if you even compare Clinton as bad as Trump, then that's crazy. But she's like the example of bribery. She's taken it to a new level with the Clinton Foundation and her paid speeches. Her email server is just like icing on the cake. I mean, this is a dynasty. Her husband was president. And after becoming president, they've accumulated over $300 million. I mean, she said stuff like, once we got out of that White House, you know, we were almost broke while they were living in a mansion. She's very entitled. You know, she's not breaking any glass ceiling. She's part of the glass ceiling. You know, getting rid of Glass-Steagall. And again, Trump is another dynasty. He has no compassion for the working class, the blue-collar worker. You know, there's how many people have sued him because he hasn't paid his employees or contractors? A lot, thousands. You know, if you know someone who's working paycheck to paycheck and you don't pay them, that's not cool in my book at all. You know, get out. So I can't support anyone who doesn't pay, you know, people who have worked. Especially, I mean, I can understand he has a big company, but when it's that many, that's not cool at all. You know, Gary Johnson has started his own handyman business and wants to encourage entrepreneurship. He had 1,000 employees, was a 2-time governor of New Mexico. And, you know, he's more probably the most qualified person running right now, actually. I mean, Clinton was a senator and was Secretary of State for like 2 years. Does that make her the most qualified? I don't think so. I mean, being the wife of a president doesn't make you qualified. It just makes it seem like a banana republic that we're going to have a bunch of Bushes and Trumps, I mean, and Clintons. I don't think, you know, you should have anyone in the same nuclear family allowed to run or something like that. It just, you know, I know everyone's an individual, so maybe, you know, I'm overexpressing that sentiment. Maybe I don't really agree with that, but, I mean, we've had two Bushes, and we're just about to have two Clintons. That's not what I would call very democratic or representative of the people. If Donald Trump wants to win, here's some political advice just for the fun of it. Maybe I shouldn't even share it, but he should do the exact same thing to Clinton that he did to Jeb Bush, because they're almost the same thing. Clinton is Jeb Bush, basically, in a female form. Maybe not as bad, but a lot of similarities. And maybe worse, actually. She has that Clinton Foundation and stuff, but a lot of similarities. I mean, he could pretty much use the same strategy. If Clinton wanted to beat Donald Trump, well, how about instead of beating him, if she just wanted to win, change who you are? You know, start showing signs. Like, you should have selected Elizabeth Warren as your vice presidential running mate. That would have shown you're not bought out by the banks. You know, fire your entire staff and hire, you know, grassroots real people. I mean, show some real signs. Just turn over a whole new leaf, and by those signs, people will see that you've really changed. Get rid of every one you have and just start anew. Surround yourself with true people. Then, you know, that would be believable. For Gary Johnson to win, he needs to have a lot more rallies. I think he is pretty good with the media. He's a pretty optimistic person. At first, I had some criticisms, but I think he's been doing it pretty well. You know, I don't know what else to suggestions to give him there. What do you think? If you want to call in the guest call-in show, we got about 15 more minutes. Guest call-in phone number, I mean, is area code 646-929-1344. 646-929-1344. There's a wave of brewing reform that is waiting to happen. Maybe it's not the president election, although we should pay attention to it, but that's just one person in one office, a very powerful office, a very concentrated office. But where we can make more of a difference is in Congress, and I would urge you to select libertarians, progressives, independents, out-of-the-box Republicans or Democrats, and third-party and independent candidates. Because you can't do the same thing over again and expect different results, and sometimes you want to try something different, someone who hasn't had a chance yet, and see what they can do. You know, someone who's going to be on the ballot, someone who has a job and can talk sensibly, and there's people like that. In 2012, I interviewed over 50 people from both the left and the right in all different parties that weren't Republicans and Democrats that were on the ballot running for the U.S. House of Representatives. So I know they're out there. Start researching now. Just put in to Google the name of your city and your state and find out who's running for Congress in your district. There's 435 of them in the U.S. And, you know, there might be 10% of you out there that might not find one. Support one in a district next to yours or in a district in a different state. It doesn't matter. You can still contribute to them. They are going to vote on national laws that affect your life. So it's not like, you know, they only affect local issues. They don't. They affect the broad spectrum, like going to war, taxes, civil liberties, energy policy. So, okay, we do have a caller, have a voice here on the line. I want to bring them in and hear what they have to say today. Yeah, go ahead. Thanks for calling the Philosophy Show.
Yeah, good evening, sir. How are you doing? My name's Michael.
Michael. Hey. So what's on your mind today? Politics or something else?
Oh, no, politics. I just wanted to address this this notion when it comes to, I noticed a lot of people are becoming anti-Trump. Not necessarily, I don't have an objection to people being against Trump. That's perfectly fine. But my issue is the reasons for that people are doing that, which I find shocking. And I seem to see the fundamental purpose is the man's personality, things he says, or how he treats people. And I cannot believe as Americans, we've gotten to the point now where the presidency seems to be determined on personality more so than policy or logical issues that we can discuss and debate, like platforms and what an individual actually wants to do, who are they going to put in their administration. These things seem to be almost minimal, and all the focus seems to be on what did Trump say today, or what did, you know, and like this whole thing of trying to make Hillary look like this nice person in contrast to him. I'm like, it's. I hope you don't have that same view, sir. Like, that you don't approach.
No, I think I agree with a lot of what. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think it should be on the issues. In fact, it'd be nice if we someday probably could just vote on issues.
Yeah.
You know, I believe in a republic where you have a balance of power, not necessarily always direct democracies. You have to protect minorities and minority states and states that might not have as big of a population, et cetera. But you know, right. I do think we could just focus on issues and, you know, like the war or energy policy or et cetera, and just focus on that issue. And we might not even need a president, but you kind of need a president in case of those times where your country might get attacked or something, so you can kind of consolidate and be more focused. But other than that, it could be a possibility with technology and the internet and things like that. I do think they focus on personalities way too much. You know, I do think they need to let more figures like Gary Johnson and Jill Stein have equal time. I think they are, you know, pre-inaugurating Clinton a lot. You know, Trump, I've gone up and down on him, my feelings. You know, some of the issues, though, are I don't like how, you know, supposedly he hasn't paid a lot of past employees and stuff like that. You know, and I think if you fail at owning a casino, that's not too good. But, I mean, besides that, I think I don't know if he'd be better or worse than Hillary. I tend to more focus on Congress, though. I think that's, you know, regardless if it is going to be Hillary or Trump. And in some sense, you could even say because Hillary is kind of a political dynasty, it would be better to just get a new name in there. I think, you know, if you're a Trump supporter, I mean, the one thing I just said, if I was to give him strategic advice, I would say, you know, treat her the same way you treated Jeb Bush, because that's almost the same way she's vulnerable. I mean, he decimated Jeb Bush and he deserved it.
Which is hopefully what he'll do in the debates.
And I mean, he should start that now. I mean, because I mean, we had the first George Bush, you know, who was like, you know, behind Ronald Reagan, and he kind of was kind of like the bad guy in the Ronald Reagan administration. And then he had his one term, and then you had George W. Bush, which was W stood for the worst ever. And then, you know, now they're going to try to, Jeb Bush even thought he had a chance. I mean, and Clinton, she feels
hilarious.
I mean, she feels emboldened. You know, her husband was president. you know, and people felt sorry because, and I felt sorry that he cheated on her, but I mean, but that's, she got a sympathy vote to become senator of New York. And what'd she give us? Trade deals and wars and huge budgets. And I mean, and a lot, right. And she's become, you know, she's worth like $300 million, not from starting her own business, but all of that virtually is from speaking fees and the Clinton Foundation. So,
exactly.
I mean, if he wants to, so he needs to just, I think, in my opinion, a good strategy would be just to pretend she is Jeb Bush and just go after her almost the exact same way. It, maybe with a little bit of crooked, more, Jeb Bush was more goofy and she's a little more crooked, but basically, you know, treat her like Jeb Bush. I think Trump is very vulnerable in a lot of ways. Sometimes I feel like he doesn't even want to win. So that's why I think Gary Johnson would be good.
Yeah, no,
but
I think one of the things, too, is the fundamental, like, the policies. Like, for example, the trade deal situation, which is something both him and Sanders brought up. And the only reason both those individuals even brought it up was neither one of them were beholden to any special interest groups or lobbyists, which is why we even have these horrible trade deals in the first place, right? I mean, this whole system is designed so that these corporations and companies can ship out manufacturing jobs, pay, get cheap labor overseas, and bring those same goods in back across the border tax-free, which is the ultimate scheme if I've ever seen one. I mean, anyone who knows American history knows that those manufacturing jobs is basically what built the middle class in America, which is why many Americans were able to actually get a college education because their family was able to afford to pay one. I mean, that was a huge bridge for people who weren't college educated to actually grow to the middle class. And that whole thing
and until
was completely
we had an
wiped
income
out.
Tax. Until we had
right.
an income tax, the pretty much the only tax we had was the import tax. And that pretty much, you know, I'm not saying that would work today, but yeah.
But
yeah,
I mean, so just on that issue alone, we should be, I think anyone, I mean, put personality aside, that's a bunch of BS anyway, because for all we know, they're both probably corrupt, characterly people. It doesn't matter. I mean, they're both, who knows? I mean, no one knows what these people are like in private anyways, but policy-wise,
yeah, it could be like the WWF.
Issue alone, right. That's why I just feel
we're
like, and, you know, I wasn't for Trump early on, but I came along because of this issue. And the fact that you had people that I knew for a fact were beholden to lobbyist groups and were bought up by special interests, both on the Republican and Democrat side, you basically joined together against this guy. And to me, that's what brought me over to him, which was the old saying of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so when these people
right.
who are some of the most corrupt politicians join together, even though they're on opposite sides of the aisle, to fight against this person, this lets me know, okay, so this individual, at the very least I know about Trump, is that he's not complicit with these people, that he's not going along with this whole lobbyist specialist branch of the government, which is just literally taken over D.C. That's awesome for me, personally. I mean, it's a breath of fresh air. I mean, Bernie Sanders tried to do the same thing, but unfortunately – his supporters weren't able to overcome the DNC the same way on the conservative side they were able to overcome the RNC. And so at this point, all we have left is Trump. Whether you like the guy or not, put that all aside. I just say, look at the issues and ask yourself, do we want to continue with someone who basically wants the status quo that has been a part of this corrupt system that's been put in place, or someone at the bare minimum might actually challenge it? That's all I'm saying. I mean,
at least disrupt things. I hear you. And, you know, it seems like the military industrial complex, the big bank interests, probably the pharmaceutical companies. I mean, they do seem to support Trump less, which is a good thing to me. What do you think? Let me ask you this on a closing question here. Now, it doesn't matter, you know, what city or state you live in, but are you paying attention to your local congressional race at all? This year.
Oh yeah, well I tried to with the problem where I'm from. I'm from Minnesota, and so we have a very liberal state, and so it's almost uniform across the board, with the exception of rural areas, of course. But the Democrats basically dominate our state for the most part.
Well, even if you don't have someone in your district, I would, you know, just try to adopt someone who's running and, you know, get involved in their campaigns. I think, you know, the people, whether Trump's going to be gone in 4-8 years. Clinton's going to be gone in 4-8 years. But if we want to really have reform, a renaissance, a revival, et cetera, you know, need to get involved in our local Congress. I mean, and that is the heart of the Constitution right there. And, you know, direct representation, you know, those are the, you know, and hopefully and right now, you know, there's a bunch of lobbyists that are in Congress, but there are a handful of good people. And if we can get more good people in the Congress for the long run, over the long haul, over the next 2, 4, 6, 8, 20 years, you know, I think that's, you know, if you care about your kids' future or, you know, the future of the next generation, that's where we want to focus a lot of our efforts, I think, is the Congress.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you real quickly, is it possible for your show to go into overtime, or do you have to get going, or?
We are in overtime right now. It just went into overtime about a minute, so we have about 15 minutes for overtime. So, yeah.
Okay. Could I ask you a couple of questions, if that's okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I want to ask you, do you believe that God exists?
I do believe that God exists. Let me recommend a video that is very interesting. You can find it on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/blastoffreshair. And if you go into the playlist,
okay.
It's not Breath of Fresh Air, it's Blast of Fresh Air. But
you'll find
a playlist called Philosophy. And in fact, the number, and this doesn't speak completely for me, but the second video you'll see on there is called The Theory of Everything. So you could probably just Google The Theory of YouTube, The Theory of Everything. It's made by this guy called Trey Smith, and it is
I know about that guy. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's an incredible video. I mean, it's very convincing. I mean, of course, there's no scientific proof. There's a lot of questions, like if I could have, you know, one of those near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences, you know, where I could...
Well, there is actually
see
a
that
lot
white
of
light.
Scientific evidence for God.
There's a lot of questions I would ask. There's a lot of questions I would ask God, you know, that are unanswered. But, yeah, I have faith that there's something up there. There's God, you know, and...
If I could just add, I mean, you don't actually need to have faith to believe God exists. I mean, scientific evidence alone makes it pretty obvious. It actually requires more faith to be an atheist, in my opinion. I was a former atheist myself. And so, yeah, I don't know if you've dealt with atheists, but many of the objections that they bring up, that I used to bring up, are actually completely invalid, and they're actually based on outdated science, for the most part.
Well,
it's actually pretty incredible.
My very first blog talk radio.com, and I have, it's my featured episode. I forgot what I named it, but it's basically something from nothing. There's only logically, I mean, two possibilities. Either something has always existed, meaning, you know, there's no time, something has always existed, or something came from nothing. And either way you look at it, the consequences when you go down each path is something always existing or something coming from nothing. The possibilities are endless for either or. And, I mean, so, like, that goes with what you said. You'd almost have to – it'd be harder to believe that, you know, there isn't – you know, an almighty, then that there, I'm agreeing with you. It'd be harder to believe that there isn't than there is.
It's actually really sad too, because when I was an atheist and when I actually talk to atheists now, I'm blown away by the intellectual, I call it the intellectual ivory tower syndrome, right? That, you know, most atheists have when they oftentimes like to look down on people that have, you know, quote unquote religious faith or believe in God, as if their position is one of intellectual superiority, which is what I used to think as an atheist. And most atheists, I deal with all you see. And it's now I laugh at it, because when you actually study the issues in depth, especially when you look at things like genetics, for example, or, you know, astronomy, it's completely laughable. Even their premise is ridiculous. Like, I can understand an agnostic, but an atheist is probably the most unreasonable, most illogical position you can possibly have. But they pose it as if
they honestly, I think we're all probably a little bit agnostic, but that theory of everything with that Trey Smith goes into DNA, it goes into, you know, astronomy, it goes into a lot of that. So if you want a scientific, you know, review of the whole debate, definitely recommend that theory of everything from Trey Smith.
So are you a Christian then, by the way, or are you just sort of like, do you have a,
no, I've had a show on
Jesus
this
Christ,
as well.
Or?
Yes. Yes, I am. I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus. You know, you could say Yeshua is the Hebrew word for it, but I believe because, and here's another reason, because I believe in the principles, and there's no reason not to believe, and I'm not going to be a hater and not believe, and I do want it to be true, because I know I'm not perfect, and I know that, you know, I would like to live forever and see everyone live forever in a just system. I mean, I wouldn't. So that's one of the questions I would ask God. I mean, is it just, you know, a might makes right, or is it just something more like, you know, just evil and good can't exist together, and that's why they have to be separated. And it's just more of a physics type of thing, like just like oil and water, you know, without an emulsifier can mix. And then if you do mix them, then it's no longer oil or water. But that's maybe why the wheat has to be separated eventually from the chaff. But who knows? I mean, there's a lot of questions I would like to ask.
But isn't God like, isn't he such a, it's like so genius. So that, you know, like as an atheist, I didn't realize the brilliance of what God was doing. Like for example, I don't take this the wrong way, but I mean many Christians who really downplay what the gospel is and how incredible that is. And maybe because I'm an outsider, I was just blown away by it. But think about this, sir. Like, compare all the religions. They all deal with the one issue of human evil, things that you and I and all people do, right? And each of them have a different answer of how God administers justice. Take Islam, right? Islam believes that God weighs you on a scale, takes your good deeds and your bad deeds and basically weighs it out. And if your good outweighs your bad, then you'll be allowed into paradise. And interestingly enough, Muhammad actually added a little caveat in there by saying all of your good deeds actually count for 10 for each one, and your bad deeds only count as one for each. Because even he knew fundamentally there's no person on earth that they've done more good than bad in life. That's ridiculous. Everybody knows that's not true. And even if you try that argument and say in the court of law, and you went to a judge and say, well, I did commit X amount of crimes, but look at all this charity work I did over here. No judge on the planet is going to dismiss your crimes on the basis of other good things you've done, even if you've had a perfect record your whole life, right? I mean, you get what I'm saying, right?
Well, this is what I would say to that is, I mean, I get what you're saying, and, you know, I'm still open to, you know, arguments, so if anyone wants to ever call in the future to discuss this, I'm more than open, but one thing I will say this is, Michael, and this is something I'm just saying is that I've thought about more recently, and especially last 2 weeks, when you're talking about things that have to do with life and death, it's, you know, you don't want to be tepid, but at the same time, you know, you have to be careful because everything we say can influence how someone else might live their lives. And, you know, and the only thing I want to be responsible for is someone, you know, having a good life and hopefully, you know, everlasting life. And so I wouldn't want to ever say anything that could lead someone down different paths. And I know we're all just studying and discussing things here. But that has really, you know, I'm doing a little show here and it's just for fun. But, you know, I don't know how many hundreds of people might listen to a certain episode or be influenced by it and might take something the wrong way or not fully understand what I'm saying. Or maybe I misspoke myself.
Yeah.
And so,
okay, well,
you know, I just want to be,
if I could just say then for anyone listening or who may be listening in the future, the reason I brought up that point about Islam is that it's important to bring that up in contrast to what the actual gospel is. And I feel like if anyone listening, whether you may be a Muslim or a different religion or an atheist, in order to make, I think we all agree that to choose something, whatever path you want to take in life, it's always best to make an informed decision, understand all the options and then choose. And so
right,
I'm presenting to you is the contrast between,
take,
right, yeah. Exactly. And so take this concept of what Islam is presenting and look at the genius of the gospel. This is what God did. This was so incredible. And it's both in the Old and the New Testament. God was in the Old Testament, God talked about, I'm about to reveal my righteousness and my glory to all the nations. And I'm about to lift up a banner which will draw all men from all the nations to me. And the light will be revealed amongst the Gentiles. And so with Jesus, what God has is he has this massive dilemma. On one side, God is a God of justice and hates evil, and he has to punish evil and uphold justice. But on the other hand, he loves the person that commits the evil. So he has this dilemma on hand, because if he gave you justice, then no longer would he be showing the love and mercy he has for you. But on the flip side, if he gave you just love and mercy and forgave you, then justice would be thrown out the window. There'd be no justice. So God's solution was through Jesus Christ coming and suffering and dying on the cross, was paying the penalty and meeting the requirements of justice, so that when God forgave you through Jesus, he could legally dismiss your case because somebody else paid your fine. And so,
Michael, I agree with that. Let me just go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
And the reason I said that's why Jesus made the statement of saying that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father through him, because he's the only one that actually dealt with the issue and actually met the requirement of justice on your behalf, and through that, offering you a chance to have basically your case dismissed before God. Otherwise, every other religion is literally telling you you're going to either have to hope that God will just arbitrarily forgive you, or you're going to have to basically get what you deserve.
Well, the only way he'll forgive you is, I mean, and I agree with what you just said, but the only way he'll forgive you is if you can forgive others. It is so important. You have to forgive others, and you have to really mean it. And that means, like, you know, it doesn't mean you have to hang out with them or whatever, but, and in a